95, Colin's Independent Radio. Hey, you would think it's just about Christmas time around here or something. Some of that jazzy Christmas music going on. But right now, it's 4 o'clock on a Thursday. And in case you missed it on Tuesday.
Providing Coleman with a...
Oh, be quiet. In case you missed it on Tuesday, the show's not on Tuesday anymore for basketball season. And as football wraps up, we are doing one show a week now on Thursdays. And that being the case, it is time now for Sports Talk Live. I know I get the right music eventually. Here are your hosts for Sports Talk Live. It's Jason and Ronnie.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
I have to say this show is brought to you in part by People's Bank, too. Can't forget that.
Yeah, brought to you mostly in part by People's Bank, in fact. So.
Yeah, I don't say entirely in part by People's Bank at the moment. So, yeah.
Hey, welcome, everyone, to the Thursday and the only edition now of Sports Talk Live.
That's right. Our favorite day, though.
That's it. Still our favorite
Still our favorite day.
And we're going to have to put things in high gear today to cover everything since we're in one day. Tuesdays, we kind of...
Hey, y'all should be excited. I even got you on the air at 4
Jay,
o'clock.
Jay, we don't have time for you to talk today, man.
Have a good show.
Now, we're going to have to kick it in high gear. We're still having our regular callers call in. So, and something we need to tell Jay during the next break.
That's right.
And we'll wait to tell everybody else after we tell the boss man. So, but we'll have our regular callers. We'll talk a little local stuff. And, of course, the four teams have been named, Ronnie. And I know you're smiling for the national championship game.
Just as I predicted before the season ever started. 2 years in a row, might I add.
Right. Well, if there are four teams and you pick Alabama every year, you've got pretty good odds that you're going to hit it.
That's exactly right.
Auburn into Birmingham Bowl. Just as I predicted.
It's already sold out.
Yeah. This morning you could still get seats on the 50
yard line. I think I detected a bit of sarcasm in that.
Yeah.
But, see, for 100 and some odd dollars. So.
You mean the bar across the street is already sold?
There'll be more there than we'll be at the ball game.
Oh, man.
Are you going? You going to Auburn? You going to see Auburn Memphis? Come
Not,
on.
No, but heck no.
I'll buy you a ticket.
I don't care if you buy me and Kathy both a ticket. And
I hear there's a really good steakhouse down there.
Yeah, exactly. I'll pay for your parking, too.
We got free parking. We're working right close to Legion Field. So.
Look, there's some nice hotels right there by that.
No.
By Legion Field.
If you are bored enough, and I'm sorry, folks, if you're hearing this and you're planning on going, but if you're bored enough that you're going to Birmingham.
That's a diehard Auburn fans right there. They bleed orange and blue. They don't just wear the clothes. They live it.
It will probably be sold out. I mean, there's probably that many bored people. I won't be one of them.
I bet you 70% of them be from Memphis.
And probably the 30% is there from Auburn.
You think there'll be more? You think there'll be more there from Memphis than it will be?
Oh, no. It'll be.
You think so?
It'll be Auburn. And
you think
so? Field, the upper deck's gone, so it don't take a lot to fill it up.
Yeah. I wonder what the seating capacity now is.
I don't know.
60? 50 to 60?
Yeah, I'd say probably in the 50 range.
Yeah. You can still get a ticket, Jason.
Oh, I know I can. But I don't even know if I watch it on TV or not. All right, Ryan, what do we got locally?
You got a chance to go see the touted Heisman Trophy winner for next year, Jeremy Johnson. He'll win it next year.
Yeah. And we'll talk Heisman here in a little while.
Oh, man.
I don't think... The man that we thought was going to win it looks like don't think he's going to win it.
He may not.
And I would have bet anything on it before I started.
He may not. You know, with sports writers and those guys voting, you know, I'm sure it's like anything else. Many people that have a say or a vote, it becomes political. So, you know.
But, and coming from an Auburn fan, if anybody deserves it, I think Henry deserves it. I mean,
yeah,
Henry
I do too.
He carried the Alabama offense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, you know, the kid that we're hearing now, McCaffrey from Stanford, he's basically carried, you know, Stanford as well. So it'll be interesting. You know, we were talking a few minutes ago, and the kid's name's already left me. When Mark Ingram won the Heisman, the kid that was running back from Stanford, it was them neck and neck. I can't even remember what that kid, Garrett. I don't remember. Big, strong, physical kid from Stanford, and there was a lot of controversy when Mark Ingram won it that year. So, you know, who knows? That may still be a holdover from some hard feelings from back then. So,
and another thing, you know, as we talked about running, hurting Henry's chances is people are looking at the SEC as not being the dominant conference anymore and not as good as it usually is, but it's still, as we've said, the best conference.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be as good as it usually is to be better than anybody else.
And one sports writer I heard say, well, he carried it, what was it, 90-something times in two games. You're going to get a bunch of yards if you carry it that many times. Well, the reason he carried it that many times.
Why are you getting to carry it that many times?
Right.
Because you can get that many yards. I mean, come on.
We'll see.
That's absurd.
Saturday night. Will Alabama have their second Heisman
Trophy winner? Yep. I think is that 7 o'clock? 8 o'clock? One of the two.
Yeah, I think 7.
7 o'clock?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What we got
Whatever.
Going locally, right?
Hey, locally, some games that's taking place tonight. Not too many, but we've got a couple if you want to go see a little basketball. Fairview is at Hansville tonight. St. Bernard at J.B. Pennington. And West End at Vinemont. Not West Point, but West End at Vinemont. So, two places in this county you can go watch some basketball are Hansville and Vinemont. And a big congratulations. We've got we've got some teams that are ranked, Jason, in the state top 10. We have Holly Pond Boys. I believe they come in ranked, I believe, 9, if I am not mistaken, or 10. I don't know. I'll find it in a minute.
They're in there.
They're in there. Holly Pond Boys ranked. Cold Springs Boys are also ranked. And then I think Cold Springs Girls, they are ranked as well. So we have some local teams. And St. Bernard Boys are also ranked. So far this year, they have lost only one game. So I will find out the exact rankings and what they're ranked. When we go to a break and then we come back,
I saw your paper and I saw Rob Ketchum's name there, and boy, he has been catching some grief lately. Made the comment in the paper earlier that nobody in the county would beat Holly Pond or Cold Springs, and if you didn't believe him, prove him wrong. And West Point already proved him wrong.
I wonder if he was over there for that game.
More than likely was. I know
he probably eating a little crow then.
Yeah, I think Ryder Jones eat him up pretty good on Twitter, so. Good enough for him.
Well, you know.
Cold Springs, 2 losses already. Didn't expect that.
Two losses in the county?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's nothing given. You know, it starts out 0-0, and yes, you probably do have the best player in the county, and yes, you may have the best team in the county, but you have to be able to go out and prove that every night. And, of course, none of us expect anybody, you know, expect folks to go undefeated and win a state championship and not lose a game. You know, right. that's not the issue. But I'm sure Cold Springs community and Coach Willoughby are not thrilled about, you know, already dropping, you know, 2 county games.
Yeah, that's got to be a little concerning.
Exactly. While we're talking about county games too, Jason, the county varsity – county basketball tournament will be January the 16th through the 23rd. It's a week earlier this year than last year. So, again, the county basketball tournament varsity down at Wallace will be January the 16th through the 23rd, and we will have the county tournament draw meeting on Wednesday, January the 6th, I believe, to determine the seedings.
Hey, and I know this will get your boat to floating and crank your motor and all that stuff. You can rest easy now, Ronnie, because if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure, and Sheila would probably know this, so Sheila, you can give us a call and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think this year, the Pee Wee Basketball County Tournament will be held at Wallace. Yeah, my thoughts exactly.
I thought you was going to say it was canceled.
Oh. But you know, that started back when Tyler and Eric was in there, and I was an officer with the basketball, so I went to the county meetings, and that came up. Of course, we voted against it.
But that's going to cost them. That'll cost them.
Oh, yeah. They're going to play at Wallace, and they brought it up that year. I think it was Tyler and Eric's fifth grade year an all-county team on Pee Wee. And so, you know, what's going to be
why
left?
Why play when you're in high school?
That's right. What's left to look forward
are they
to?
Gonna play, are they going to put goals on each and play cross court? Are they going to play? The reason I'm saying is because, you know, even the high school kids have a little difficulty on that floor because that floor is 10 feet longer. Right. Now, people don't think 10 feet's that much. You start running up down that floor, 10 feet makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
So now, instead of an 84-foot court that third graders or fourth graders have a difficult time getting up down the floor, and a lot of times they walk, now they're going to have a 94-foot floor to do that.
I can't imagine that being true, but I saw it in black and white wrote on a schedule. So.
Oh, man.
And hopefully that's a mistake. But, or maybe it's in one of their gyms down there, not the Coliseum or something. I don't know. But what it said, county
tournament.
Well,
it'd have to be because
Wallace
that State. the other gym they have, the auxiliary gym. Well, no, I was going to say, I don't think it has seating, but it does have to have some seating because Coleman Christian plays there. But I don't know.
I don't know either.
It'd be hard to think they play that over there.
Hey, coming up at 4:20, Chris Andrews will join us at round 5. Dr. Dan will be on, and we'll be talking about the four teams in the playoffs, get their input.
Yeah. Alabama's the overwhelming favorite.
Oh, yeah.
To win it all.
Alabama should win it. They got the first round bye.
That's right.
And Ronnie, real quick, even you, being an Alabama fan, will admit that the playoff drawing is as rigged as the day is long by putting Michigan State up at 3.
I said that was going to – we both did. Let me just not say – we both said if this scenario plays out, they're going to move Michigan State to 3.
Right.
But, you know, they can save face by saying, well, all three of the conference, you know, champions – they had a playoff game. I know that's how they're going to spin it, but you know, we both know they were not going to leave Alabama and Oklahoma playing that semifinal.
No, they want that for their championship game, and
that's right.
They couldn't get it at 2 and 3.
Nope.
So it's funny how things work out.
Funny how it works out. But I know we'll ask Chris after we get him on the phone. But I saw today Alabama was like a 42% chance of winning it all, and I think Clemson was like a 28%. Oklahoma was somewhere close, like 26, and then Michigan State was like 8 or 9% chance of winning the national championship. So I'd be interested to see what Chris thinks about those, you know, percentages.
Would you take Alabama or the field if you had to put your money? Alabama or the other three teams?
I'm taking Alabama. What would you do?
I don't know. I'd have to study that one. I like Oklahoma right now. So
I don't.
I think them and Alabama will be a heck of a game.
I don't think. I think Bama beats Oklahoma. I don't think Oklahoma can defensively can stop Bama enough to win the football game. They don't play a lot of defense consistently in the Big 12.
And I don't think, but that's the reason I think they've got a good chance, because I don't think they're going to have to play that good a defense to beat Alabama. So,
oh, really?
I still say Alabama, not the Alabama team of years past. And I give it to them 100% on defense. Defense is as good as any year you'll see.
Ever.
But offensively, this team is lacking. At quarterback, they're lacking. So
they're not as strong offensively. I agree with that. That's been shown the last 2 weeks, or the last two games. Didn't they score 29 both games?
Yeah, and, you know, if they'd been good offense, they should have scored 59 against Auburn.
That's right. I do not agree with that. Like Gus –
but
said,
that
you know,
was good enough to get Muschamp a head coaching job at South Carolina.
I guess it was. What about that? What is Gus going to do for a defensive coordinator?
What is South Carolina going to do for a head coach?
They got one. They got Muschamp. Hey, they're in better shape than Auburn is.
No.
How
do you figure that?
They got a head coach that they want, that they feel like he's going to get it done.
Well,
he's already – He's already hired two. He's already stolen two or three, or hired away, I think, a couple of good quality guys from Auburn.
We didn't need them.
And my question, as I asked you earlier, and I'd love for somebody to be able to answer this, is who is Gus going to get for his defensive coordinator? That is the $10,000 question. Because
who's Alabama going to get?
Nick Saban.
He's going to get double checked.
Doesn't matter who comes there to be entitled the defensive coordinator. The defense is Nick Saban defense.
Well, the same
with Auburn and Gus.
Yeah, as I told you, Rhett Lashley looks like could be the next coach at Tulane, so we'll leave Auburn without an offense or a defensive coach.
As I told you, too, they need to take that slot right there, that offensive slot, and hire him another defensive coach. Because Gus is going to run the offense anyway. I'm just interested to see who is Gus able to pull to come be the defensive coordinator. You know, there was a little talk there that the defensive coordinator at Florida State, who has Auburn ties, they were after him, and I don't think that the water didn't even get warm on that search. So I don't know who he'll hire.
Hey, here's big news, Auburn fans. It's not all lost. Pass rusher Paul James III, huge recruit who had committed to Auburn, Muschamp is now courting to go to South Carolina, and he has told Muschamp that my heart is with Auburn. So as of right now, he's still committed to go to Auburn. So
we'll see.
Oh yeah, he's there. I can tell by looking at him.
Is he another one that carries around a doll?
No, but he might. You look at the picture of him there. So.
Good luck with that.
Hey, we'll take him as long as he can rush a quarterback. We don't care what he looks like.
Well, I can agree with that.
And let's be honest, Alabama don't care what they look like, or Henry wouldn't be getting the ball 40, 50 times a game.
That's right. So. It's just who you can saddle up and ride to a victory.
Who was it that said that he was too ugly to win the Heisman?
I don't know.
You've heard that. I know you've heard that.
Never heard that.
Yeah, somebody.
Who was it said Auburn wouldn't score 20 points either?
If I hear that one time, I've heard it 100 times.
I haven't been too bad on you. You have to admit.
No, you just called me all night that night after the ball game. Phone ringing at 2:30, 3 o'clock.
You was busy sleeping.
Ronnie, how many points did they score? All right, Jay, if you'll cue us up, we'll go to a break here because Ronnie's got some news he needs to talk to you about. So,
thank you.
I'll throw you under the bus.
Yeah, absolutely, under the Gus bus.
All right, stay with us. Chris Andrews is going to be joining us in just 3 to 4 minutes. We'll be talking Alabama football, Auburn football, and a little Panther football. Sports Talk Live, 98.5.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Kids Loving Kids is working on a local toy box drive just in time for Christmas. Kids Loving Kids is a 501c3 organization founded in 2012 whose mission it is to develop philanthropy skills through multiple projects empowering students to make a difference in the lives of other kids. The organization is taking donations through December the 19th for new unwrapped toys and clothes. For more information about the organization and specific toys requested, you can search for their Facebook page, search for Kids Loving Kids. Shortly before Christmas, they'll be setting up a one-day market where parents that are in need can come work with middle school-age volunteers to wrap the gifts and stuff a few stockings. Here's a partial list of local businesses who are participating in this project. The Coleman Power Board, Red Door Cafe, TNT Motors, Best Way Rent to Own, Connie Phillips CPA, Coleman Phone and Tablet, Classic to Sassy, Coleman Jefferson Gas, Shimmer and Glow, Vincent's Furniture, Happy Homes Real Estate, New Vision Real Estate, Coleman Funeral Home, the Coleman County Sheriff's Department, Zeb Little's Attorney's Office, Bella Fair Salon and Day Spa, the North End Title Max, Mitch Smith Chevrolet, Bill Smith GMC, First Southern Financial, Berkeley Bob's, and many more. 595 wants to help kids loving kids promote the joys of giving and helping others. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas from all of us here at Live 95.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I would like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. The band keeps getting bigger and better. In fact, the group now numbers over 60 and really sounds terrific. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. From traditional Christmas music to new exciting arrangements, there will be something for everyone. Outstanding vocalist Josh Agnew will be featured on a beautiful rendition of O Holy Night. You will not want to miss that. Again, the concert is Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. Admission is free.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without
them? Do you love Live 95? Do you love Christmas music? Do you need a last-minute tax write-off? Live 95 is looking for sponsors for our week of Christmas music. Beginning Friday, December 18th, you can sponsor an entire hour for $50. We can record your Christmas message to the town of Coleman or play your own personal message of tidings and joy. Email us at studio@live95coleman.com and we'll work with you to plan your hour of music. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from our family to yours at Live 95.
We waited all through the year for the day to appear.
4:22 on a Thursday afternoon. This time each week, it's time to bring in the man with the plan, Chris Andrews. Chris, welcome back to Sports Talk Live with a happy Runny Barnes.
That's right. Roll Tide.
I imagine he is pretty happy this year.
Oh, I'm telling you. Chris, and he's still reminding me about the points, how many points Auburn scored. So I'm going to have to buy those steaks and get it over with. Hey, Chris, the four teams are now set for the college football playoffs, Alabama versus Michigan State, Clemson and Oklahoma. Do you have any idea what are the odds, what are the Vegas odds for each one of these to win? And how do you expect this thing to play out?
Well, I just got my latest update from the Westgate Hotel. They're one of the leaders, certainly, like in futures and that sort of thing. They got Bama even money. Oklahoma 9-4, so a little bit more than 2-1. Clemson 5-1. And then Michigan State 7-1.
Okay. Even money on Alabama. Let me ask you, Chris, something I asked running. This is kind of a curveball, but if you were going to bet on this, would you take Alabama or the field?
Well, I think I would take the field. It's close, obviously, with Bama being even money.
Right.
But I've gone on record. I like Oklahoma.
I hear you. I'm liking you better and better.
Well, you know. They really played some terrific ball, and I've talked about it. You know, once they found their running game, and I don't know what happened that first month or so of the season, they could not run the ball. Even like Akron, I think, held them to 100 yards rushing. So they found the running game, and everything just changed after that. And I think right now, I think they have the most balanced offense. That defense definitely a question mark. But I think they have what it takes to win it all. That's who I like.
Good deal.
All right. Hey, Chris, question here. Alabama is somewhere between a 9, 9.5 point favorite. If that's not correct, you can correct me, to over Michigan State. Who do you like in this one? And I think Oklahoma's about a 4 point favorite over Clemson. So I guess you probably answered that by saying you like Oklahoma. So what do you think about Alabama, Michigan State?
Yeah, well, I like Michigan State, not so much to win the game, but I think Michigan State is a kind of team that'll almost always make you play their style of game. You know, they play very conservatively. They're looking to run the ball, a lot of short passes. Defense, they stack up really well defensively, against the run or the pass. Now, the thing about that is, I think Bama will be more than happy to play that kind of game. So I think that will fit not so much with Michigan State winning the game. I really think Bama will win the game. But I just think with the point spread, I think it's going to be a real close one. I expect Bama to win probably anywhere from like 3 to 8, something in there. So I do like Michigan State with the points, mostly with just the style of play that I think they want to play. And like I said, I think Bama will be more than happy to play that exact same style and keep the game real close.
I think they're very similar football teams.
Yeah. Well, you know, D'Antonio worked with Saban on that Michigan State staff, you know, so, I mean, it would make sense that they play a game very similar to one another.
Right.
And I think the teams are kind of constructed that way, again, both offensively and defensively. So, I think that's what you're going to see, a real close game. Total's 47, not real low, but, you know, any more in this day and age of college football, that's a pretty low total.
Right.
I think that's what you'll see is two teams playing pretty close to the vet.
Absolutely. Hey, Oklahoma, 4 point favorite over Clemson. What do you think about that number?
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's about right. I like Oklahoma to win the game. You know, a 4 point favorite is probably going to be a little shy of like a 2-to-1 favorite on the money line. I think that's probably appropriate. But, you know, Clemson, I got great respect for Deshaun Watson. This kid is just so good. He could probably keep them in the game himself. But I just think in the end, Oklahoma has a little bit too much, little too many weapons. And I don't think he can win the game, although I think he'll keep it close. I kind of favor Oklahoma laying the points, but I'm not crazy about it. I think it's maybe a little bit too high to lay the points. I'd probably just sit back and watch and hope I can get to the championship game with my Oklahoma bet.
Hey, Chris, any other bowl games out there right now that's got your attention early? Any lines look interesting? Anything got you?
Well, you know, I haven't made any plays yet, really. I mean, I got a couple that I'm looking at. I'm looking to get through tomorrow and solidify my choices either Friday or Saturday. But some of the ones I'm leaning on, I like South Florida getting the points against Western Kentucky. I like Temple a little bit against Toledo. I know those aren't exactly the big games.
Hey, if it makes money, it don't matter.
Well, yeah, I mean, you lay 11 to 10 and you get a winner, they're big enough.
Hey,
you
know? Right.
So, I mean,
Hey, what about the biggest game, Chris, other than national championship, and that's Auburn against Memphis in the Birmingham Bowl?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know,
Chris, I don't
hate
know.
To tell you, I like Memphis a little bit in this point. Sorry.
Hey, if you want to go to that,
I get a rise out at least one.
Yeah,
ride,
yeah. But, I agree with you. Hey, yeah, if you want a good seat, I know there's a lot of them available at Legion Field.
I plan on visiting you guys one of these days. That might be a good time.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be up visiting my daughter. She lives in Idaho. So I'm going to spend New Year's Eve with my daughter. My son lives in Seattle. So
super.
We're gonna work on this, though. Don't worry. I got a little plan ahead.
Hey, we love it. About. Love it.
Good deal. But,
I do like Memphis a little bit in that game. I wasn't necessarily going to point that one out, but I do kind of like them a little bit. I like Houston. I think Houston will be a big challenge for Florida State. I think that game should have been much closer to pick. And I like Northwestern against Tennessee getting 8 points. I think Northwestern, talking about Michigan State making you play their game, I think Northwestern's another team that'll kind of make you play their game. Those are the ones I'm looking at right now. But really, tomorrow and Saturday, I plan on just going through all the numbers with a fine-tooth comb and seeing if I could find anything out there. And you know, I mean, I know I'm going to, so, you know, that's besides the point. We'll have a few plays probably by next week for sure.
Great. Hey, here in the South, Chris, two big hires, or the two biggest hires that took place recently, was Kirby Smart going to Georgia, and then surprisingly, I guess for Jason and myself, was Will Muschamp going to South Carolina. So what's your opinion on each one of these hires?
Well, the first, Kirby Smart, I think that was a really good choice myself. I think that, you know, they probably needed a little fresh blood over there at Georgia. I mean, from what I know and what I've read, it seems like he has a very good personality as far as recruiting and that sort of thing. That's always going to be a huge thing down south, because that's where so much talent is, and you have to get your share of that if you want to compete in that conference. He seems like a really bright young guy. Seems like he's done a lot of good things with Bama. I mean, he's learned under the best. You know, if he's not the right hire, I don't know who would be. So I think right. Georgia really made a good hire. Now, the Muschamp one, I'm not nearly so excited about. I mean, he had a lot of things going for him in Florida. They recruited extremely well. He came in that really, ever since Spurrier got there, you know, 20-some years ago or 30 years ago, really was one of the top programs in all of college football, and he couldn't win there. Now, South Carolina, again, he's following Spurrier, but I mean, South Carolina does not have a great football tradition. They did really well under Spurrier. They won 10 games, I don't know how many times, and were probably in the national championship conversation at least before many seasons. But really, go back before that, I mean, they had, you know, a couple years with George Rogers, and you know, that's really been about it. Not a great football tradition, and now he's expected to build that. And I don't know. Listen, Jason probably can answer this better than anybody, but it seems like he did not do that good of a job at Auburn, and I'm not sure his heart was in it. Maybe he was just setting up the whole way to try to grab another big position, the next one that opened up. I don't know. But I don't think the year at Auburn did him all that many favors, and I'm not so crazy about this hire in South Carolina. I'm not so sure that's going to work out.
Well, we agree with you, Chris, and I think you hit the nail right on the head. He did go lacking at Auburn, and as you said, was he waiting just for the next head coaching job, heart not in it, not have the material? I don't know what the deal was, but something definitely lacking with his job at Auburn this year. So I would hate to know.
He got hired by Auburn. I thought that was a great hire. I thought it was the perfect move, but it certainly did not work out that way.
Yeah, and like you said, Chris, you know, Florida was in the SEC championship. Now, I understand they're in the East, and the East is down. I got all that. However, Florida still won 10 games in the first year with Jim McElwain. And, you know, Muschamp was there 3 years, and he didn't do as well in those 3 years as
McElwain. He didn't have much over 10 in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Did in 1 year. So I don't see what the big lure was, you know, there for Muschamp. I don't know. I think he and Saban are, I mean, I'm sorry, he and Spurrier are pretty tight, so I don't know if Spurrier was, you know, out politicking for him. I have no idea.
Yeah, I would echo those same sentiments, but the only thing I would differ on you, like right now, the East is a little bit down, but they're not that far down. You know, I think Florida's on the rise. You know, I think, listen, Georgia's been good with Mark Richt, and I understand getting the new blood. I understand that. But, I mean, I think Georgia's going to be real tough again. I think Tennessee's on the rise. You know, I think Butch Jones, you know, maybe I was not that impressed, to be that honest with you, in his coaching ability this past year.
Right.
But maybe he's learned something, you know. I mean, guys do learn as they go. So maybe he's the guy that could take that step, because I think he's really recruited well. And if he does turn out to be a better coach than what he's shown so far, I think Tennessee has a shot I mean, they could be in the national conversation very shortly. He's built a pretty good squad over there.
Right. Hey, Chris, I want to throw one out at you, kind of out of left field. What's the talk out there? I've seen a few things about the Sarkisian and suing USC now for them terminating him. What are you guys hearing out on the, you know, the West area?
Well, you know, I don't want to pretend like I'm a lawyer, but I did hear from a couple lawyer friends who said, yeah, they think he probably has a pretty good case. You know, you claim that, well, if you're an alcoholic, you actually have a disease.
Uh-huh.
You know, those sort of things. And, you know, so he probably has something to get some cash out of it.
Wouldn't
I don't want to get too blue
here.
But I'll just say this. I have a very good friend of mine who was close to the Washington program when Sarkisian was up there. And I'll let everybody connect the dots but he says the fact that Sarkisian is getting a divorce would not be that big of a surprise for him. You know, so that was his reputation on the Washington campus. And I'm sure it wasn't any better than that down at Southern.
Right. I think I saw his like $30 million or something he's seeking, so wow. You know.
Well,
a lot of coins.
A high figure, you know.
Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, Saturday night.
Not like when Jason goes out there and gives a bid on some of these construction.
Absolutely.
Jobs.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's the same thing.
Hey, Saturday night, the Heisman will be awarded. We'll have a new Heisman winner. Chris, who do you expect to win this? And in your opinion, was anyone snubbed by the awards? Anybody not going to be there that you thought would at least be there and be present?
You know, I thought Fournette got screwed a little bit, to tell you the truth.
Right.
Not that he deserved to win it, but, I mean, he was the leader for a long time, and it looked like he was, 6 weeks ago, he looked like he was a slam dunk to win it.
Right.
You know, and then now he's not even making the trip. So I kind of feel a little bit for him. You know, to me, it's either got to be Christian McCaffrey or Deshaun Watson, and every time I think I know which one I would vote for, I kind of have that buyer's remorse and want to go back to the other one. But I think they've both been absolutely terrific. You know, I don't know. I'd vote one of those two. I kind of have a feeling it's going to be McCaffrey, but if it was Watson, I would have no complaint at all.
Chris, let me ask you this: playing devil's advocate here in the South, we got to take up for our Southern boys. What would keep you from voting for Derrick Henry? Around here, at first we heard, hey, Derrick Henry slam dunk, he's going to walk away with it, and now we're hearing he don't have much of a chance to win it. So what exactly, you're on the outside, we're on the inside here, so we're looking at it through different colored glasses, but what would keep you from voting for Henry?
You know, nothing bad that he did, but I just think the other two surpassed him.
Right.
You know, I think Henry had a heck of a year and, you know, deserves to be in New York and deserves to be in the conversation. Those other two guys, I think, played so well. You know, every time I think about it, you know, McCaffrey had 400-some yards in the championship game. And he kind of was doing that almost every week. You know, and then Deshaun Watson, I've loved this kid from the very minute I laid my eyes on him. I think he's terrific. I think he had a great year. You think of where Clemson would be without him. I mean, they'd be like a 6-win team, I think, without him. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think those two guys just surpassed everybody in what they did this year rather than anything that Henry did.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Hey, Chris, let's switch to the NFL a bit. And, of course, you know, we have to mention, for Jason's sake, we have to talk about the Panthers. And, of course, they deserve to be talked about. I know they're the only team in NFL that still has not been beaten. They're about a 7 or maybe a 7.5 point favorite this week over the Falcons. What do you think about that game? And do you think Carolina's, what are the odds of them running the table?
Well, it's funny you mention that because I do another little piece with an outfit out of Tennessee in the mornings, and they always want to know about Carolina, too. And I said then that I said, you know, there's no chance I could bet on Atlanta. It'd either be Carolina or pass. Well, since then, a ton of money just this afternoon has showed on Carolina. They're up to an 8.5, 9-point favorite everywhere now.
Good.
So,
all right.
And it's not just, yeah, I mean, it's smart money. You know, when you move it that quickly and that much in the NFL, I mean, it's sharp money. So the sharp money showed on Carolina. You know, you look at their next four games, I mean, they have a great chance of running the table here. You know, I mean, the only caveat I would say is if, you know, they get into those last week or 2 weeks and, you know, maybe Rivera just wants to start resting a lot of guys, which I understand. I mean, if I were them, I mean, 16-0 is really, it's good, it's important, and it's historic, but you want to get that Super Bowl ring is what you want to get more than anything else. You know, so I would understand if he maybe, only played Newton for a half or did something like that. You know, but if they were playing on the square these next four games, they're going to be tough to beat. I think they got a great chance of going all the way.
Right. And, Chris, that's going to prevent me from going to Atlanta to watch them, I think, the 27th or something like that. Because just what you said, I'm afraid I go there and Cam Newton rides the pine for the biggest part of the night.
Yeah, and I would understand that. What I mean? I think, you know, the owner got to, yeah, listen, Jerry Richardson says, you know, no, I want you to go all the way. We're going to try to win every game. Then, you know, you're Ron Rivera. You're still working for a living. You're going to do what Richardson tells you. But if he says, no, ease up a little bit. We don't need this. Our biggest goal is the Super Bowl. And, you know, Ron Rivera's going to do that. I could see going either way. I'm not sure which way it's going to go.
Right, but, boy, are you talking about being questioned if you leave Cam Newton in a game that really don't matter if you win or not and he goes down with an injury?
They'll crucify
you. He knows the way he plays. I mean, he plays really hard. I don't think if he's out on the field, I think he's going to play hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the only way to protect him would be to say, no, you're going to sit this second half.
Exactly. Right.
Hey, well, I don't know. It could happen.
Yeah. Would you say that right now he is hands down the NFL MVP?
Well, I do right now. You know, I would have said Brady for a long time, but, you know, right now, you know, New England not playing that great of football. And no matter what happens, it's still a big reflection of your team's play. And people are always going to remember what they see last a little more than what they've seen all year. So I think Brady, if you asked me a month ago, I thought it would have been Brady over Cam Newton. You know, but the other guy that I think, I'm not sure if he's going to get the votes, but I think he has to get a tremendous amount of consideration is Carson Palmer. I mean, I think he's really played well, and I think Arizona is going to be very tough to beat in the playoffs. I mean, that whole NFC, I think, is going to be very tough. You know, Seattle all of a sudden playing some great football. You know, Carolina, of course, the Cardinals. I mean, you know, can't overlook Green Bay too much. I mean, he's still got Aaron Rodgers. You know, but I think Cam Newton right now certainly has to be the favorite. But my second choice would probably be Carson Palmer.
All right. Chris, one more question. Any other NFL games? But before you answer that and give us any other games that you're looking at, I want to ask you this. Have you ever saw a game finish up quite like the Cowboys and Redskins the other night? I'm closing this thing out, getting ready to go to bed, and it's 9-9, so I'm thinking overtime, so I don't care who wins.
I've
already lost my bet on it anyway, more or less, so I turn it off, and the next morning I look, and it's 19-16 final. So,
well, I needed Washington, so I wasn't real happy with the.
I was right there with you.
Yeah.
That's kind of.
I didn't like that very much.
Yeah. That's kind of like the Green Bay and Detroit game, last week or week four? My goodness.
What else in the NFL?
I'll tell you, I got a couple games I really like. I got to surprise you. I like Oakland over Denver. I think they hang in there with Denver. I think if you look at Denver, they've won a lot of games with defense. And I know Osweiler's getting a lot of accolades for playing well. You know what? He's not been great, though. He's been, like, okay. You know, not much more than that. And Oakland's the kind of team that can score. They can put some points on the board. And I don't know if you saw that Denver injury list. It's huge. A lot of guys hurting for Denver. And a lot of them will play. But I don't think they're anywhere near 100%. So I like Oakland to cover. That's one of my best games of the week. And another one, I like the Jets. I think the Jets will handle Tennessee. I think they're playing some pretty good ball right now. They have a few injuries, too, which I think have kind of kept the number low. But I'd like to watch the injury reports on Wednesday and Thursday. And a lot of the guys, they have a couple of corners, Revis being the main one. But they all played in practice the last couple of days. So at this point in time, it looks like all systems go for those guys. So I like the Jets to win that one. I like Buffalo over Philadelphia. You know, I think it's just one of those games where I think Buffalo's just a little bit better. A lot of incentive with the LeSean McCoy situation. I think Rex Ryan likes to play that so that he'll milk it all the way. And, you know, he'll probably get a good performance out of those guys as long as they don't get too emotional in the beginning and, you know, just kind of leave it all on the field in the first quarter. So I kind of like Buffalo a little bit over Philadelphia, too.
I'm going to one more time, and then if Ronnie's got anything, let him finish it up. But in Chris's opinion, are we seeing the final season for Peyton Manning?
Yes. Yes. And I would hope so.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
All we know what we see of him on TV and stuff like that, he seems like a really good guy, you know, and I don't want to remember him, like, limping to the finish. I'd rather remember all those great years that he had.
I agree.
So I hope it's his last year.
Right. All right, Chris, before you go, tell everyone if they want more information, want some more picks, some more of what you got, tell them how they can find you.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter, at Andrew Sports, if you're on Twitter. If you want to go to my website, it's againstthenumber.com, and we got football package, we got a bowl package, we got our season package where you get everything that we do. You get weekly packages if you want. We've also got a basketball handicapper. I'm not a basketball handicapper myself, so I went out and found a guy that I've known for about 25 years. He was the best I've known, and I was fortunate enough to get a deal with him in about 2 minutes. So he's been with us, he's been hitting pretty close to 70%. The guy's been unreal. I'm really glad I found this guy, and I'm glad I'm following his pick, too. So anyway, that's the kind of stuff you find there against the number. A lot of free stuff. We do a lot of podcasts, a lot of things like that. So even if you're too cheap to pay, we'll still have some good stuff for you on the website.
There you go. Well, Chris, thanks a lot for joining us as you do each week, and have yourself a great weekend. And, man, start making that Christmas list out because Santa Claus is going to be right around the corner.
You got it, my friend. I will do that. Yeah. I will talk to you guys next week. Have a great week, you guys.
All right, thanks,
you
Chris.
You too, Chris. Thanks, bud.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Chris Andrews, Ronnie.
Best bets.
That's it. He had a lot of picks today.
Out in Reno, Nevada.
You take a few of those, play the right ones. Hey.
For entertainment purposes only.
And Santa Claus will be better to you this year. But play the wrong ones, and Santa Claus won't be. You might get a bag of lump of coal.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Let me tell you this one real quick while the music's playing. Yeah. Emma made out her Christmas list the other night, was having me write it down.
Yeah.
And so
she's going to have to take out a loan?
Yeah, she told Santa Claus to bring her whatever he wanted to bring except for a stinky sock. Now, where that came from, I don't know. But
probably because of you.
Well, it may have been my socks laying around. 4:48, 12 minutes to 5, we come back, talk just a minute, and then about 5, we'll call Dan Vosta and have
Kevin's
Dan
Insider
on with us and close out today. We're going to be wrapping it up at 5:30 due to other obligations, so stay with us about 42 more minutes. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Cullman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or a bundle with the Cyber Broadband Cellular Service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive, and you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Cullman. 297-2280. 297-2280. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Do you love Live 95? Do you love Christmas music? Do you need a last-minute tax write-off? Live 95 is looking for sponsors for our week of Christmas music. Beginning Friday, December 18th, you can sponsor an entire hour for $50. We can record your Christmas message to the town of Cullman or play your own personal message of tidings and joy. Email us at studio@live95cullman.com and we'll work with you to plan your hour of music. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from our family to yours at Live 95.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A Muslim leader says he's notified the FBI after mosque members received suspicious contacts on social media. President Ashfaq Taufiki of Birmingham's Islamic Society says several members received friend requests from an unknown person. He says one member got a message from the same person stating, "We are at war and we must stick together." FBI office in Birmingham declining comment. Speaking out against Donald Trump's proposal to bar Muslim foreigners from entering the country, Senator Richard Shelby. The Republican tells AL.com he would not use a blanket ban. Shelby says he prefers a policy that bars people who come from countries with links to terrorism, like Syria. Trump, the GOP presidential frontrunner, says the U.S. needs to stop admitting Muslims until the government devises a better system of screening for terrorists. City of Birmingham starting a massive collection effort next month, an entire staff dedicated to getting thousands owed to the city for unpaid parking tickets and more. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Governor Bentley firing back at the Obama administration concerning a Department of Transportation investigation into whether civil rights law was violated in a move to close driver license offices in rural sections of Alabama. Bentley calls the investigation an attempt to embarrass the state on an issue that's already been resolved. In a statement, he says, despite facts to the contrary, opportunistic politicians such as Hillary Clinton have politicized an Alabama budgeting issue to serve their own agenda. These rarely used offices are open one day a month. Police in Hoover continuing to investigate a fiery wrong-way crash on Interstate 459 that claimed the life of one man. Investigators say Michael Johnstone of Birmingham was driving the wrong way on the interstate when he slammed into an 18-wheeler head-on. Both vehicles burst into flames. Johnstone died at the scene. The truck driver escaped with non-life-threatening injuries. A doctor pleads guilty to soliciting sex from a patient in exchange for money and drugs. Dr. Irvin Wells sentenced to a year in jail and has to surrender his medical license. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
News, General Electric backing out of a plan to sell its appliances business to Swedish company Electrolux for $3.3 billion. Good news for 1,000 employees at the company's refrigeration plant in Decatur. GE did not give a reason for terminating the sale with Electrolux, which was announced last year and included facilities in Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Indiana. Meanwhile, GE Aviation's nearly $200 million silicon carbide materials project in the Rocket City will begin next year with the construction of two new factories in Huntsville Annex Limestone County. Huntsville City Council unanimously approving the development agreement. Montevallo wants an entertainment district. Birmingham, Vestavia Hills, Montgomery, and Huntsville already have them, and the city's holding a public hearing for input on December 14th. Mayor Holly Cost says if the district is approved, guests could buy booze within the district and carry it around. AAA reports average price per gallon of gas in Alabama down a penny from yesterday to $1.82 at the pump. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
All right, back with you, Ronnie. I got to ask you right off the bat, did you catch the mayor's name in that last story of the news as we came back on?
What?
If I didn't misunderstand that
news. I
didn't
hear the news.
She was talking about, I think, Talladega or some city and the entertainment district, but said the mayor, Holly Cost. Now, how would you like
Holly
to
know?
Yeah,
Cost.
Holly Cost.
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. How would you like to grow up with that name?
I didn't hear it at all. So
yeah,
I'm
pretty sure that's
pretty
it. Holly Cost.
Oh my goodness, that'd be tough.
I see you wrote something down.
Yeah,
there,
I told you I'd look up and give you the exact rankings for the varsity boys and varsity girls that are ranked in the state of Alabama. Holly Pond is sitting there at number two, and Cold Springs is also sitting. This Holly Pond boys 3A. They're ranked number two in the state. Cold Springs boys in 2A, ranked number two, but that's probably going to change a little bit because they got beat by West Point. Holly Pond girls in 3A, they are ranked eighth, and Cold Springs girls in 2A, they are ranked fifth. So those are the teams that are ranked. Also, St. Bernard is ranked in 1A. So, again, those are the teams that are ranked in Coleman County in the state of Alabama.
And Ronnie, if I'm not mistaken, Cold Springs at two, and then in their area, Tanner, I think they came in at number three, if I'm not mistaken.
Tanner's ranked number three in the state.
So right there in the same area, that'll be interesting.
You're exactly right. Tanner is number three. The record we have here is Tanner's 4-1. Now, I'm sure that's different now, but at this time it was it was 4-1, and they are, like you said, they are in the same area. So, be interesting area play right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Cold Springs lost at home the other night, I think, for the first time since, oh, gosh, it's been years since they've lost at home. So,
Was that when West Point got them?
Yeah, so that streak has been broken now.
Start another one.
That's right. That's what streaks are for.
That's what they're made for. Made to be broken and start another one.
How surprised, Ronnie, talking to Chris, we got two or three minutes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. How surprised were you that he didn't even mention the name Derrick Henry in the Heisman race?
I was very shocked.
I was too.
I was
expecting him to at least have him at second, if not first.
But, you know, And then I don't know, you know, his – I understand what the things he said about, you know, McCaffrey and Deshaun Watson were all true about their club. But take Derrick Henry off of Alabama's football team and see what you have then.
Right, right. And I'm wondering, is it a case, us and Derrick Henry, is it a case of us being in Alabama and that's what we see and what we hear, or?
To a degree, it has to. Yeah, I agree. To a degree, that's true. But well, it's also, Jason, arguably has been for the last several years the best conference in the country. Right. What if Derrick Henry was the running back at Stanford? What if Derrick Henry was the running back at Clemson?
Yeah. I don't know.
Where he had 1,900 yards, you know, he might have had 2,500.
It's going to be interesting. And most of the time, this thing is, you know, you pretty well know ahead of time who's going to win it. But I think this year it's going to be a surprise. They're going to be 50% of the people are going to be surprised one way or the other.
And then I think you have a percentage of people that just don't want somebody, not necessarily from – well, there'll be some that don't want somebody from Alabama to win it, but there'll be many that don't want somebody from the South to win it.
Right.
Or from the SEC to win it.
Oh, yeah. So let's be honest. People are overfed SEC, and they're sick of SEC.
Sure.
And anything they can get to take a slap at the SEC,
right,
they're going to.
And, you know, but with the exception of what Ohio State did last year, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, it has been dominated nationally by the SEC.
Oh, yeah, the record speaks for itself.
Absolutely. So, you know, if it was any other team in any other conference, they would be getting just as much publicity as the SEC has gotten over the last few
years.
And
Alabama, a good chance to put another title in the column, not only for themselves, but for the SEC.
Yeah.
So, you know, the title there for years was just whoever wins the SEC is going to win the national
title.
Right. So.
That's right.
Maybe not so much the case now, but
right. It should be an interesting three games.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I do not think Alabama is going to beat Michigan State by 9 to 9.5. I don't see that myself. I think it's going to be close.
I don't know. I don't feel good on that one either way. So.
Yeah.
I do know this. I'm getting it all planned out. Auburn plays the 30th at 11 o'clock. So get that game and
In Birmingham?
Oh, yeah, in Birmingham.
That you're going to?
Stay the night.
They're
somewhere nice.
There's a day's end. There's a day's end right there.
Did you see
off
the itinerary for
road.
The Auburn players?
Huh?
Did you see the itinerary for the Auburn players? You know, they always have the activities set up. They're going to go to Vulcan Park and the Birmingham Zoo and may travel to the Galleria one day and let them look around.
You know what I'd do? What time do they play?
11 o'clock.
I'd get them up at 6, get on the bus. Right up there, get dressed and play, and then we're going back home.
Might as well. You know, if you're going to a bowl game that you can stay at home and go to, it's not a good year.
That's exactly right.
All right, 5:02, going to a quick break. We'll be back with Dan Vosta, Campus Insider. Stay with us.
Kids Loving Kids is working on a local toy box drive just in time for Christmas. Kids Loving Kids is a 501c3 organization founded in 2012 whose mission it is to develop philanthropy skills through multiple projects empowering students to make a difference in the lives of other kids. The organization is taking donations through December the 19th for new unwrapped toys and clothes. For more information about the organization and specific toys requested, you can search for their Facebook page, search for Kids Loving Kids. Shortly before Christmas, they'll be setting up a one-day market where parents that are in need can come work with middle school-age volunteers to wrap the gifts and stuff a few stockings. Here's a partial list of local businesses who are participating in this project. The Coleman Power Board, Red Door Cafe, TNT Motors, Best Way Rent to Own, Connie Phillips CPA, Coleman Phone and Tablet, Classic to Sassy, Coleman Jefferson Gas, Shimmer and Glow, Vincent's Furniture, Happy Homes Real Estate, New Vision Real Estate, Coleman Funeral Home, the Coleman County Sheriff's Department, Zeb Little's Attorney's Office, Bella Fair Salon and Day Spa, the North End Title Max, Mick Smith Chevrolet, Bill Smith GMC, First Southern Financial, Berkeley Bob's, and many more. 595 wants to help Kids Loving Kids promote the joys of giving and helping others. Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas from all of us here at Live 95.
Do you love Live 95? Do you love Christmas music? Do you need a last-minute tax write-off? Live 95 is looking for sponsors for our week of Christmas music. Beginning Friday, December 18th, you can sponsor an entire hour for $50. We can record your Christmas message to the town of Cullman or play your own personal message of tidings and joy. Email us at studio@live95cullman.com and we'll work with you to plan your hour of music. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from our family to yours at Live 95.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Cullman Community Band, and I would like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Cullman High School Auditorium. The band keeps getting bigger and better. In fact, the group now numbers over 60 and really sounds terrific. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. From traditional Christmas music to new exciting arrangements, there will be something for everyone. Outstanding vocalist Josh Agnew will be featured on a beautiful rendition of O Holy Night. You will not want to miss that. Again, the concert is Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Cullman High School Auditorium. Admission is free.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
I'll have a blue at Christmas without you. You feel so blue. Just thinking about you.
That'll get you in the Christmas spirit. No, you won't get that anywhere else. Hey, joining us now, Dan Foster, Campus Insider. Dan, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great. Happy Thursday to you guys.
Hey, same to you, Dan. Hey, let's get started right here. We got the 4-team playoff set. Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Mississippi.
Say it right, Ronnie. Yeah, Alabama.
Alabama. Hey, give us your thoughts on these 4 teams.
Yeah, well, certainly I think, it's maybe not been a typical college football season where we've seen in years past where we have, a handful of, or at least a couple of great teams. I think that remains to be seen, but certainly there's been a lot of very good teams. So I do think those, clear cut, those were the 4 best teams this season. We got 2 great matchups, but one thing we do have in common with all 4 teams, they've been able to dominate or at least control the line of scrimmage, which still, at the end of the day, is championship football. The best teams are always built from the inside out. You could argue Alabama, obviously, has that always in their back pocket, it seems. But really, Michigan State is kind of the epitome of that. A little bit different than maybe their past few seasons, which makes it that much more impressive to me. Losing Michigan State the last couple of seasons has been able to run the ball at will against opposition. They just kind of eked by Iowa with over a 20-play drive. You saw to win that game. No really big-time rushing plays, but they're still a very much improved defense from what they were in the season. And then quickly, when you look at Clemson and Oklahoma, it's funny how they matched up last year in the postseason. Oklahoma's been maybe one of the more improved, most impressive teams from a season ago because they really dominate the offensive line with a mobile quarterback. And then, they've been pretty much flawless in terms of getting after the passer in Big 12 territory, which may not have the best of defenses, but Oklahoma's is about as legit as it gets. So all 4 teams, very sound defensively. And as expected, they all have a skilled player or 2 or 3 that can pretty much take over a game. Michigan State may be the odd team in terms of that. Aaron Burbridge is a potential Sunday player, but Clemson's loaded at wide receiver. Alabama has a few capable receivers, and they need to throw the ball. And certainly, you look at Oklahoma and Sterling Shepard, maybe one of the smarter, more productive receivers, more so in the slot, but he's maybe the most productive, clutch, experienced guy of the bunch. So all these teams a little bit unique, but for me, it all starts with the defense. That's something they all have in common.
Hey, Dan, this is Jason. The four teams that were named, no shocker to anybody, I don't think. But if we were back in September now, looking to this date and looking at what the committee was going to do, which four teams they were going to pick, which one of these teams do you think would have been the biggest surprise?
I think the Oklahoma Sooners. Just, it's kind of funny because, you know, they're such a premier program, obviously the biggest one in the Big 12 alongside Texas in terms of national brand. But Baylor, TCU were both preseason top 10. I wasn't drinking the Baylor Kool-Aid as much as I was TCU, but we saw injuries take a major part in both of those programs, and hence they're not even in the New Year's Six Bowl game. But really, if you would have told me that Lincoln Riley would have won the Frank Broyles Award for the best assistant in the country, I would have said you're better off playing the lotto because you might win that more than you would with that prediction. But Baker Mayfield, in his first year, has been Johnny Manziel-esque. Sure, he hasn't played any relevant defense like he had for the Aggies, but Baker Mayfield has had sensational several plays where he's extended the drive, extended the play, and done nothing but bonkers mode and pretty much allow the Sooners just rack up points at will. So I think Oklahoma, I thought, was going to be a nice 10-3 team that potentially could finish the year in the top 15 at least. But obviously now many people like them to win the national championship. So they've really improved on all sides of the ball. But offensively, they were pretty weak down the stretch last year. To compare them to just an average top 25 team, they're weak compared to nobody offensively. They're just about as good as any team in the country offensively. We're still going to see how their secondary can live up against a potential matchup with Clemson in the first round, but then potentially Alabama as well with still superior athletes. So I would go with the Sooners, and I would probably go with them in a landslide.
Good deal.
All right. Hey, Dan, you know, for the big part of the country, they're probably not going to be interested in a lot of the bowl games out there unless their specific team is playing in one. My question is, give us your two or three big matchups that you want to see other than the semifinal and the national championship.
Yeah, I'll give you quickly three. Two really stand out. I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion. I'm going to exclude the CFP, and I'll even exclude the New Year's Six Bowl games, despite I look forward to all of those. I think these two stand out to me. First is the Russell Athletic Bowl. I think North Carolina, tough loss to Clemson, of course, still ranked 10th in their final rankings, taking on a Baylor team that, you know, could be down to their fourth-string quarterback, who was and so against Texas and lost that game. Really an abysmal end of the stretch for Baylor, losing to TCU in overtime on the road and losing at home to Texas. But nonetheless, they're still slight favorites at the moment against North Carolina in the Russell Athletic Bowl that could have perhaps over 80 points scored. I like North Carolina's chances of scoring over 40 in this game. I think Marquise Williams, quarterback for North Carolina, just a hell of a quarterback for college standards, can run the ball very well. TJ Logan, they're a very balanced team. Defensively, not the most superior talented team, but the Tar Heels can rack up a ton of points, and we very well know that Baylor is going to show up and score some. Whether they win the game or not, I think the big-time intrigue of this matchup, because the points will be flowing, and really this could come down to who has the ball last. The second bowl game, I'm looking forward to the Alamo Bowl. Now, that game's not till January 2nd. That's a Saturday, an evening game. But Vernon Adams of the Ducks and, of course, Trevon Boykin of TCU, this game could be, first of 50 wins. You know, they only got a little bit over 70 points at the moment. They're still waiting, TCU is, rather, for Josh Doctson to be cleared. He's supposed to get his cast off from his broken wrist that he suffered down the stretch of the season. Many people project him to be one of the top receivers taken in the NFL draft. Some compare him to Michael Crabtree. He could be the difference maker for TCU to win this game. If he's not playing, they'll still have a chance, but Oregon, for me, would be a pretty solid favorite in that game. But Vernon Adams and the Ducks, I feel like, could compete with a few teams playing in New Year's Six Bowl games thanks to their explosive offense that many thought they'd have in the preseason. And finally, before the year's over, they're starting to live up to those expectations. So those two stand out the most. But the third, the wild card for me, guys, is actually the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl between the Gators and the Maize and Blue of Michigan, mainly because everybody's just pounding and assuming Michigan's going to win this game in a cakewalk. Now, I know the game doesn't matter that it is played in the state of Florida, but this is a game where it really could be a first of 13 points wins the game. Florida's proven with Tonio Callaway and the special teams. He could, you know, break one on a punt return. But the Gators' defense, for me, is still a top 10 defense. They're going to get healthy before this bowl game is being played on New Year's Day morning. This is going to be a loaded game with NFL players, not the best offenses, but nonetheless, I'm going to look for this game because field position, this is like an old-fashioned football game, a slobber knocker, as they call it. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Gators actually upset Michigan, wouldn't bet the ranch on that one. But that's going to be a very intriguing game, especially if you love defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, I couldn't agree with you more on the last game between Florida and Michigan. I look forward to that one myself. Hey, let me go off the cuff a little bit and throw one here out at you. You mentioned North Carolina a minute ago, and that brought to my mind Gene Chizik. We're hearing Jason mentioned to me that there's talk about he going to East Carolina. Have you heard anything? What do you know about that situation?
Yeah, I've heard some rumblings, nothing, you know, official. And obviously, we've had quite the busy offseason, quite the busy week, maybe it'd be a better thing to say, for head coaches that really are just flying off the radar. So I wouldn't rule anything out. Certainly, he's been one of the more impressive, improved coordinators, if you call it that, because a lot of people kind of left him for dead in terms of being a successful assistant or coach, and he had quite the year with North Carolina, not the toughest of competition, the ACC Colts, but nonetheless, ranked 10th in America. Nobody saw this coming. I wouldn't be shocked, because obviously Russ McNeil got let go. East Carolina, very capable of becoming that Houston, Temple, Memphis type of team that can win 9 or 10 games annually, even in the American Athletic Conference. So I wouldn't rule that out, but I'm not hearing anything officially other than, of course, some rumbling and some rumors. But I wouldn't rule that out. I think that would be a good fit, certainly for an East Carolina team that we've seen, you know, productive and go to bowl games up until this season.
Great. Hey, thanks, Dan. Hey, since we're on coaches, let me throw this one out to you. Give us your opinion here in the South. Maybe the two biggest hires that's taking place around here is Will Muschamp leaving Auburn and going to South Carolina, and Kirby Smart, who's going to be leaving Alabama and going to Georgia. What's your thoughts on each one of those?
Yeah, certainly I think South Carolina wasn't expecting this type of season. Obviously saw Steve Spurrier resign, you know, halfway through just over that past the season. Didn't finish as strong as they'd like either, but I thought it was going to be a down year for the Gamecocks, but I'm not sure, you know, I was expecting them to be even this bad per se. And, you know, just not too long ago where they won 3 11-win seasons in a row. They were looking for a little spark. So I heard Bill Muschamp occasionally gets excited, loses his cool. I never heard of such a thing.
Never.
I think South Carolina was looking for certainly that to revival, you know, to spark in this program up, because they feel like in the SEC East everybody else is growing, but seemingly them. So I think certainly he could potentially, I wouldn't say get them to the promised land. I'm not sure he's going to have the most successful tenure in South Carolina, but he'll get them bowling. Just a matter of how much everybody can, you know, get along with each other. And if they're winning at the end of the day, I think it could be okay. But I'm not anticipating big-time success, because I think too much is, you know, good in the future for the Gators, the Dogs, and the Vols. So I'm not buying it big time, but certainly it's more so of a fit for South Carolina where they feel like they need if they want to get back on track. And then for Georgia, I think this is a pretty darn good hire, despite zero experience at the head coach position, which you don't very see often or even say often. But I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, Kirby Smart brings the Dogs that killer instinct, which they really have lacked over the last couple of years. It's amazing they really failed to even show up in terms of appearing in a BCS bowl or a New Year's Six bowl the last couple of years. Despite their talent, they're among, you know, the top five, the top 10 in recruiting and NFL draft picks every year for the last decade plus, and yet no national championship appearances. Like I mentioned, no even big-time bowl games. So Georgia and Kirby Smart could be potentially a home run hire. I wouldn't rule them out of appearing in a few SEC championships, but easier said than done. So we're going to find out when the Bulls start flying next year if he's fit for head coaching experience. But the talent's there. They just haven't been able to show up consistently like all programs like to do. But I think Kirby Smart's got a shot. He's going to have to find a quarterback, because that is the be-all, end-all right now in college football. It's something Georgia's failed to have for the last handful of years.
Right. I agree with you, Dan, and it's not because I'm an Alabama fan and Kirby Smart, you know, has been in Alabama for years, but I think it is a great hire for them. He has every opportunity to be successful. He's a great recruiter, and the state of Georgia is absolutely loaded with football talent, as much so probably as the state of Florida, or close to that. So he has every opportunity to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you mentioned it there. I mean, maybe not quite as far, but not too far behind where the talent level isn't going to be the issue. So it's going to be very intriguing because certainly I think he's going to have some success. They'll be expected and more likely to win at least 9 games next year. They're just looking to get to that 10-11 win mark, potentially at least challenge for New Year's Six Bowl because there was no reason why they couldn't have won at least 10-11 games this year. And they could potentially still win 10, but like myself included, there was so much more available for them to do, potentially win 11, 12 games this year, and they fell a little short.
Yeah, I agree.
Dan, speaking of talent, Saturday night we will name a new Heisman winner. Who do you think it'll be, and tell us why you think this person will be our next Heisman winner?
Yes, I certainly think Derrick Henry will win in a borderline landslide. I'm not saying it's going to be one of the biggest gaps ever, but he's about as sure as a thing as you can get. It's almost like, you know, saying if before the season started, would Alabama have less than 4 losses? I think that's kind of how much of a lock Derrick Henry is.
I do think
Christian McCaffrey's going to finish second by a good margin. Deshaun Watson will finish third, but I'm going to tell you, Derrick Henry's this, you know, a landslide, if you will. One thing, he's played huge down the stretch. He's had over 90-plus carries, over 700 yards. You don't hear that very often nowadays. Even when Herschel Walker played very often, you really didn't hear that. But Alabama's now with their popular team. For the most part, in my opinion, they've lived up to the hype that their preseason, you know, that they received. They're in the CFP. They won the SEC championship. And really, when you look at this offense, you lost, you know, a couple of receivers. They weren't, you know, Alabama had some injuries early on, but they leaned on Henry the whole season. He's carried this offense. You take him off the team, I do think they would lose 3 or 4 games. They're not quite the same without him. You could argue only a few players are like Derrick Henry in terms of how valuable they are for their team. I think McCaffrey and Watson, you could argue they're 2 next best, but Derrick Henry's showed up big time in the big games. And that LSU game, middle half, just past that halfway point, was really the statement game for the college football season. If Alabama would have lost that game and Fournette would have had a big game, we could be in a different position right now. But Derrick Henry went off in that game and was very important for every game. He didn't have any bad games, per se. He showed up in September when, obviously, Christian McCaffrey did not lose to Northwestern that first game. Deshaun Watson was pretty steady for most of the year, but I don't think he's had as big of a numbers in the competition. He hasn't been able to showcase his talents like Derrick Henry has. At the end of the day, you got to showcase your talents, and obviously you got to play on a winning national championship team with the stats, and I think Henry fits that billing a little bit more than Deshaun Watson.
Hey, Dan, I'm going to throw you a very wicked curveball right here. I want your opinion next year as which coach, and you can pick one or two or three, however many you want to, who's going to start out with the hottest seat of anybody next year? And I know I'm really throwing that out at you.
Yeah, wow. I mean, those are the Power 5 conferences, I think, are always a safe pick to start. But I'd have to probably stay with the Big 12. I hate to say it, but I wasn't impressed with their conference this year. And I actually was down on Texas this year, and I think they even, you know, went below my expectations. I had the Longhorns going 5-7. They go 4-8. If they go anywhere close to 4-8 next year, Charlie Strong might not make it to Halloween next year.
Right.
So I would put Charlie Strong probably number one because you could argue Texas top 10 in the country in terms of name brand. You know, in terms of revenue, they've been number one in the nation. So Texas has to get back to winning quickly. They've been abysmal at being able to develop talent at receiver. I feel like the two of you guys and myself included can maybe run some routes in the Big 12, sometimes a two-man touch, which makes it even easier for you to run routes, yet Texas has failed miserably to complete forward passes when they need to, and that goes to Texas recruiting. You're supposed to get the best players in the country, and it seems just from watching the last 24 games of Texas football that their receivers couldn't play it down in the SEC or even maybe the Big Ten. So Texas had to look in the mirror and find some players that want to play some darn football. And certainly it's unfortunate. It comes down to your head coach, and Charlie Strong has not been able to get the job done so far. But, you know, you always look for next year. If they have a big year next year, he'll gladly get off that hot seat and make the haters eat some crow. But 4-8's not acceptable. So I think you've got to put him arguably at least in your top three. I'll put him up there at the top.
Great deal. Hey, thanks for that, Dan.
All right, Dan, one other question, then we're going to have to cut it a little short today. As I told you earlier, we're under time constraints today due to other obligations. So somebody, not naming any names, but Ronnie, has got to go to a party. So.
No worries.
Hey, what we're hearing just out today, that Rhett Lashley possibly going, he's one of the candidates for the Tulane job. What happens to Gus if he's all of a sudden out of a defensive coordinator and out of an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think certainly that puts quite a bit of pressure on him. He's going to have to find some guys quickly because we're going to see how this bowl game shows up against a fairly talented Memphis team, despite Auburn being favorites. I think you got to win that game. If you lose that game and you don't have your coordinator with you at the time, then all of a sudden you're scrambling for some answers and some coaches that could help you, because as good of important a head coach is, you got to fill yourself with great coordinators that fit and gel with you and your team. So I think that dooms trouble more than likely for Gus Malzahn in Auburn. But we'll have to wait until, officially something happens. But, yeah. Sometimes bowl games can springboard your season next year, and sometimes they put you in a lull. So I think you got to, hope he stays and you win that bowl game and go on from there if he were to take a position such as... But certainly it's very important whether he leaves or not, Rhett Lashley, for Auburn to win and then kind of pick up the pieces in the offseason, because certainly they got to get back to business and win some ball games in a very difficult SEC West that has lots of talent, of course, coming back next year.
Okay. All right. Good deal, Dan. I appreciate you joining us. Going to cut it a little short and let you get on with your Thursday evening activities. You got a ball game you're going to be watching tonight?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Best time of year. You got the bowl games over a week away, and now NFL is heating up as well. So best time of the year, as I call it, too.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, have a great one, Dan, and if we can, we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds great, guys. You have a great rest of your Thursday.
Thanks, right, Dan. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Dan the man with
That's
the
it.
Plan.
He's got it.
All right, we're going to be wrapping it up here, Ronnie.
That's
so
right.
Anything you got that you need to run through before we get
off
there?
Yeah, if anybody wants to see some sports tonight, Jason, it's out there at 6 o'clock in case somebody wants to watch the College Football Awards. They are on ESPN. College Hoops tonight, Iowa at Iowa State, ESPN 2 at 6:30. Troy at Seton Hall. Boy, I want to get some of that one.
Yeah.
Sports South 1. At 7 o'clock, Florida at Wisconsin, 7 p.m., Oral Roberts at Arkansas, SEC Network at 8 o'clock, and one NFL game if you want to catch that tonight on the NFL channel, 7:25, Minnesota Vikings at the Arizona Cardinals. So those are some sports you can see, plus a little bit of NBA that's on TNT.
That's enough to keep you busy tonight.
That'll keep you up all night long.
All right. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll be back again next Thursday. Again, one day a week from here on out the rest of this season.
That's right.
And we'll be back next week. We'll know who won the Heisman.
That's it.
Talk a little more feetball. And then get ready for Santa Claus.
I hear you. It's about that time.
Thanks for joining us. Look forward to talking with you again next week. Until then, let me leave you with a big War Eagle.
And a big old Roll Tide for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, for Derrick Henry. See you, folks. Thanks for joining us. Sports Talk Live 95.5, Coleman.
Thanks, guys, and enjoy your party there, Ronnie. Want to bring everyone up to date on a few other things happening here with Live 95. We're going to be with the Downtown Merchants Association on Saturday, doing the Downtown Christmas Parade. I believe that's from about the Busy Bee Cafe up to the Fest Hall. So come find us downtown Saturday afternoon and evening. And we are happy to be celebrating Christmas instead of 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, as other organizations who shall remain nameless do. And keep an eye on the weather over the weekend. A good chance of severe storms, at the very least strong storms, possibly severe storms. Hearing possibly very heavy wind and possibly some spin-up tornadoes. That is Sunday evening late, I think, and maybe into the overnight hours of Monday. So if we are placed under any kind of watch or warning in the tornado arena, we'll be keeping an eye on that here on Live 95 and providing real-time storm coverage if we are under a warning. So keep that in mind. Got a couple of volunteers lined up to help with that, too, just in case it happens. Thanks for listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
With a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, you're listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.
How soon?